This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in the day when I was taking Spanish as a class in junior high school, we had to memorize dialogues and conjugate verbs. These dialogues were scripted conversations, and we'd have to play different parts and repeat these dialogues over and over with the teacher listening in to make sure that we didn't mispronounce any words. And we'd have to do these dialogues again and again and again, and to this day, some of those snippets from those dialogues are still just burned into my brain. I remember one of those dialogues opened with us asking your name, "¿Cómo se llama?" And then you'd answer, "Me llamo," and then you put in your name, "Me llamo Ricardo." Well, it was pretty easy, you know, that part of it, but I remember being kind of surprised when I found out the literal translation of that phrase, because the Spanish word for name doesn't appear in any of them. The Spanish word for name is nombre, and it's not in there. And I was surprised by that. It turns out that "como se llama" means literally, "how are you called?" And when you answer, you say, "me llamo," fill in the blank, "I call myself handsome," or "rich," or "funny." Anything but Rick, you know. At least you can dream. At least when you're in seventh grade. Well, it occurred to me that this idea of calling and being called is front and center in our lessons today. And it turns out that call has a special meaning in the kingdom of God. And I think our lessons today help us get a handle on it. And so I want to talk about that for a little bit, and then I want to spend some time talking about how those lessons might be sort of a springboard for us to talk about what God is calling us to as a congregation in the coming year. You know, it turns out that the Bible has 20 different Hebrew and Greek words that somehow or another get translated to the word call. And you could boil them all down, and basically there are about 5 meanings for the word in Scripture. And the first 3, you know, pretty simple stuff. We can translate call as to speak out, as we call on the Lord's name in prayer. And then another way that call's used is sometimes it's called, it means to appoint or summon, as in the first chapter of Jeremiah, where the Lord says, "calling all the tribes of the kingdom of the north together." And then it can also just mean to name something, like the Lord called the light day. But today we're mostly interested in the other two definitions of the word call. And in the New Testament, call is very often used to mean inviting others to receive salvation through Christ. We know that kind of salvation comes directly from the Holy Spirit. Jesus says as much in John chapter 6. He says, "No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day." We know this kind of call is heavenly. Hebrews chapter 3 talks about partakers of a heavenly calling. And we also know that this kind of calling is holy. Paul in 2 Timothy talks about being saved by a holy calling that comes according to God's grace and not according to our works. But mostly, this idea of calling carries it with it the idea of a new vocation. The idea that once God saves us, our lives change. Kingdom people are called to kingdom work. We no longer live solely for ourselves. Christ has a claim on our redeemed lives and calls us to serve Him in the kingdom. All you have to do is look at the first line of Paul's letter to the Romans. He identifies himself as saying, a servant of Jesus Christ called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Paul was called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And in our gospel lesson, Jesus is in Galilee calling disciples. He's already called Peter and Andrew, and our lesson opens with him calling Philip. And it just looks like old Philip doesn't hesitate for a minute, does it? Jesus calls him, and he drops what he's doing, and he follows him. And then almost immediately, Philip goes to his friend Nathanael and invites Nathanael to join them. And we can look at that scripture, and there's nowhere in there that it's apparent that Jesus told Philip to go talk to Nathanael. All we know for sure is that when Philip approaches his friend, Nathanael is kind of skeptical. Now, it's interesting to me that this skepticism doesn't bother Jesus at all. He talks to Nathanael. He shares that little tidbit about seeing him under the fig tree, and Nathanael feels the call. He recognizes Jesus for who he is, the Son of God, the King of Israel. Nathanael's life is changed right then and there. And he may not know all the details. He doesn't know how his life is going to sort itself out, but he knows that from that point on, it's going to be his joy to work together with Christ, bringing forth the kingdom of God. Nathanael no longer is living just for himself. Whatever his old job might have been in Cana, that's yesterday's news. His new calling is to serve his king. Whatever skepticism that Nathanael might have had about anything good coming out of Nazareth was just swept away when he became one of the 12. He had a new life and a new calling as a follower of Jesus. And then in our first lesson, the boy Samuel was called to be a prophet. And many of you know the part of that story that just precedes our lesson. And that's where young Samuel, he's this assistant to Eli, the priest in the temple. And three times Samuel hears God call him, but he doesn't recognize that it's God's voice. And then finally, Eli, who really isn't doing a very good job as priest, we find that out later. But he may not be doing a good job as priest, but he gives Samuel some good advice. He says, "Samuel, the next time the Lord calls you, just say to him, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" You know, the last couple of weeks, we've talked about how God is fond of doing things in surprising ways. He's always new and creative. And you know, normally we'd think that God would prefer to speak to and probably through this older priest, Eli. After all, Eli's the one that's been around organized religion his whole life. Eli's got more experience than young Samuel. But this is important. God is not looking for ability. God's looking for availability. God's looking for people who have a willing heart and an openness to serving Him. You know, this is something that we in the church, this is something crucial that we just have to understand. God supplies the talent for ministry through the spiritual gifts He gives us. And what He's looking for from us is not so much this incredible expertise that He can then use in ministry. He's not looking for us to come up with some brilliant idea to tell Him what to do. I think God is very pleased when those who are willing to serve say simply, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Ministry thrives when we rely more on God and what God brings to the party than when we rely on our own skills and abilities. This is exactly what Paul is getting at when he writes in Ephesians. He has that wonderful conclusion to chapter 3 in Ephesians where he says, "God, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish far more than all we can ask or imagine." The Holy Spirit within us, he says. Within us. Again, God's not looking for people with tremendous ability. Thank God for that. Who has it? He is looking for availability. Eli had ability. Samuel had the willing heart. Now, does this mean that we shouldn't strive for excellence when we're serving God? Not at all. What it does mean is that we shouldn't be surprised when God resources the ministries that He calls us to. When we're moving in concert with the Holy Spirit, God is glorified and the kingdom grows. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the truth is the Holy Spirit has been in the ministry business for a long, long time. He's been at it longer than us, and He's better at it than we are. The Holy Spirit knows what He's doing. It's been said that for ministry to be effective, it's not necessary to reinvent the wheel, to come up with some great idea. What's really required is for us to see how and where God's already working and join Him there. So in the last several months, as your church council has been considering ministry opportunities, we've been trying to listen to where God is calling us. We've been trying to assess where God's already at work so that we can join in. And you might remember that late last year, God really seemed to put helping the homeless on our collective hearts. And so we began to look at what we're doing in that area. You know, we've been supporting the Tooele County Food Bank for at least the last 3.5 years that I've been with this congregation, and for many years before that. But we felt called as a council to do something more. And so we committed to doing homeless lunches. A minimum of 400 homeless lunches in 2012. County Relief Services distributes these lunches to people in need. And 2 weeks from today, we're doing our first 100 of those lunches after the service. And you're all invited to join us in that. And of course, we're going to continue to support the food bank financially in the year ahead. And then just last week, the council was discussing another area that we feel like God has just drawn our attention to. We've identified family as one of the core values for Mountain of Faith. Drug and alcohol addiction is devastating families in the Twill Valley. And we've already begun to investigate what resources are available to people here. And if it turns out that God's work is being done, we're going to join in that. And if it turns out that God's work really isn't being done very well in this area, then we're going to sponsor some kind of an existing program that we know already does a good job supporting families facing this challenge. Be a new ministry for us. Last year, you remember, we made an intentional effort to get out of the church, to not just wait around for people to come to us. We volunteered. We sort of got outside ourselves. We volunteered at the Hot Rockin' Forth event in Ogden. We were the only church that had a concession booth at the Bit and Spur Rodeo right here in Tooele. We had a presence at Stansberry Days. We gave away almost 30 cases of water to hot, thirsty people. We gave away balloons to kids and adults. And the money that we raised through the free will offering on the water, we gave to the food bank. People found out about Mountain of Faith who never even knew that we existed. And this year, we're going to continue to do those things and even more. This year, I'm proposing that at least one day, one Sunday, we'll do something called The Church Has Left the Building. And that we'll do a community service project during our normal worship time. That way that the people around us will know that we, not just that we exist, but that we care about what's going on in the community and that we're here to help. Finally, in 2012, we're going to make a concerted effort to make our worship more meaningful and relevant. We're revamping our Vacation Bible School program. And we're going to be partnering with another LCMC congregation, Good Shepherd in Sandy, to do a weekend VBS that'll fit better into the schedules of our people. And then we're going to integrate that VBS right into our Sunday worship and invite everybody that attended to join us for worship on that Sunday. It'll be a great outreach, something that we've never done before. We have plans to upgrade our music ministry by inviting people like Ken Baum and his band, Mountain Spirit, and Russ Ferkus and his band, Messenger, to come and lead worship with us. At least once a quarter, we're going to go outside of ourselves to sort of upgrade our music ministry. And you know what? God has blessed us recently with some people, drawing some people to us that actually have some musical talent. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to use that talent just like we did on our Christmas Eve service. And lastly, the Methodist Church, our gracious hosts, have recently invested and upgraded some technology right here in the sanctuary, and they've offered to let us use it. And this is another wonderful gift. And you know, we can make good use of it without going overboard. New technology can enhance our worship and make it more meaningful. So long as we remember to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is the Word of God. We are not going to deviate from that. So in short, I'm looking forward to an exciting 2012. And I fully expect that God is going to use Mountain of Faith in ways that we can never even hope or imagine. And that somehow through us, God's kingdom is going to grow. So I just urge you to keep watching, keep listening, keep growing, keep praying that in all our efforts that God will be glorified in everything that we do. And I guess I would also tell you, don't be too surprised if God calls you to join in the fun. Amen. Thanks be to God.